Hey. All right, everyone. Welcome to the session. We're going to go into enhancing user state virtualization through MDOT. Sorry about the lazy music after lunch. I hope it hasn't put you all to sleep, but hopefully this will get you excited. Got us there? Okay. Cool. My name's Toby Alcock. With me, I've got Glenn Cicero from Corporate Network Integration, and we're going to take you through the new features of MDOT. This is a new release. So the agenda for this afternoon, a brief introduction on what the user experience virtualization solution from Microsoft is. We're going to give you an overview, and then we're going to jump straight into some demonstrations. So two perspectives on the demonstrations, one from the user, and then we'll go into some administration as well. And right at the end, we'll talk about the architecture and how it does everything it does and some best practices behind the scenes as well. We'll leave Q&A for the end, but if there's anything important, feel free to put your hand up. But the way we've structured this, most of your questions should get answered as we go through. Okay, the caveat slide, third one in, and I'm already giving a caveat. So this isn't a release product. The release candidate came out on Friday, so Glenn spent all weekend updating this with the latest code so we can show you those new features. But it isn't released, so until it is, it could change the features. So if you're listening to the recording, we always recommend reading the release notes. So I'll start by setting a bit of context on what we're seeing in the marketplace. Our users are asking for the ability to work the way they want, a unique work style. There's no concept of a standard user anymore. Each user wants to do their own thing and have their own personalization. They're working from multiple devices, and they want that consistent look and feel across the multiple devices. They're more mobile than ever before. They're not just working on one PC in the office. They're working from multiple devices and multiple locations. And we need to deliver the same level of functionality across all of those. Now, you've told us that you're using desktop virtualization and VDI to help deliver this functionality for your users. And if there's one thing that we keep hearing, is that VDI and desktop virtualization is making it more complex for the IT pros to administer. The traditional approaches don't meet today's need for a consistent user experience across the devices, and that's why Microsoft have written the User Experience Virtualization tool. This is a tool to help you deliver that experience for your end users. So let's start by looking at where we came from. In the old days, everyone just had a desktop, and we had systems management tools to make sure that each machine was configured the same. You had that application across every machine, either in a work unit or across your whole organisation. When the user came onto that machine, he would log on and configure the settings in the application, in the operating system, just the way he wanted, to get that personalization right. When the user logs off, that was saved on that machine. But then if the user comes over onto the second machine, they repeat the process all over again. There was no way of bringing those settings across. So the user logs in, repeats the process, sets it up the way they want, and then they log off, and that machine is configured the same. So a lot of people started to use roaming profiles, where the settings and data were stored in a central location. With roaming profiles, the application still had to be installed the same way across all the machines. If you logged onto a machine that didn't have that same set of apps, the experience wasn't the same. So now when the user logged on to the first machine and configured everything the way they wanted. When they logged off, those settings were then replicated back up to that central store. And when they log on to the second machine, the experience comes down with them. Now, everyone's probably seen roaming profiles. How many people use roaming profiles in your organisation right now? And how many of you have had problems with corruption or bloated profiles? Right. The old ways don't work very well, and it doesn't give us a lot of control for what settings we're going to roam for the user. It was an all or nothing approach. So today we're changing this. In today's world, people are accessing the network from different devices. We've got slates, laptops, thin clients, and remote desktop sessions from even not in the office, from their home PCs and coming in via an RDS gateway. The applications are being installed in different ways, using MSI, AppV, remote app. We're delivering the applications based on what's best suited for that user. The problem with roaming profiles, it doesn't address these scenarios. We can't roam a consistent experience from an RDS session to a local session, from AppV to MSI. Direct access. Anyone using direct access in here? So direct access, it's recommended not to use roaming profiles with that configuration. So UEV helps address this. The user experience virtualization tool allows us to maintain a consistent set of settings across the different devices and the different applications. Now when that user configures the one setting on the first device, it's automatically replicated to all the others, regardless of the application delivery, be it MSI or AppV or RDS, and regardless of the way they're connecting. Some of the benefits of the UEV: we can roam the application regardless of how you deliver it. We can target just the applications that you want to administer. You have control over what settings for what applications roam in your environment. You don't have to do an all or nothing roaming session anymore. We roam between operating systems, so going from Windows 7 to Windows 8, we can maintain that personalisation that the users want. The number one thing we hear from users is they need that consistency to be productive, and any excuse to say why they're not productive, even if it's down to the tiniest customisations that they're making in their environment, they'll blame that. So we take that away by roaming that across the different versions. So we don't care now if you're roaming from a Windows 7 device and then onto a Windows 8. We keep those personalisations that the user is used to and that they demand for their productivity. There's very little infrastructure required. You can set this up on Monday when you get back to your offices with the release candidate, because it's not released yet, but nonetheless. It doesn't need a lot of infrastructure. We integrate with VDI, remote desktop, all the desktop virtualization technologies. There's one agent, you install it across the devices, and the agent handles all the logic. So if I had to summarise what user experience virtualization is in a nutshell, it's you can change the device and keep your experience. The user gets their consistent personalisation the way they want in order for them to be productive. As the IT pro, we maintain control. We give the user what they want without losing control. We can define what's going to roam. You know what's roaming in your environment. You can control that. So the old problems of profile shares filling up and corrupt profiles are a thing of the past. For the business perspective, this is easy to scale out and manage with familiar tools. It's not a new tool set to learn. We manage using group policy and you're used to the tool set. I'll go into that in more detail when Glenn does some demonstrations. So it's not a whole new tool to learn. It's not a whole new tool to purchase and implement. It's part of the desktop optimization pack. So you're leveraging an existing investment and you can start using it and saving the business money. So three key capabilities of UEV for the end user: it's personal and flexible. They get their customization they want. They can be productive. For the IT pro, it's simple and versatile. You can control it, and it's not a whole massive complex thing to learn. And for the business, it's integrated and scalable. We're reducing that cost. So let's look at that first pillar from the end user of how we retain their experience. In this scenario, we've got the finance guy, and he sits on his physical desktop most of the day, every day. He doesn't really move. But occasionally, he goes home and works from a document on home. With UEV, those settings are replicated up to the store and made available across all the different devices that he's connecting to. Regardless of the device, regardless of the application delivery method, we're maintaining the user experience. Oh, sorry. You don't have to reconfigure the operating system and the applications anymore. Once it's set once, it's available across all. We work across physical and virtual, both from an OS perspective and from the application delivery perspective. We can roam between Windows 7 and Windows 8, and also Server 2008 R2 and Server 2012. So those of you been to some of the Server 2012 sessions might have heard about user profile disk. We often get asked how this compares with that. The user profile disk is designed around terminal services, and it maintains that whole profile for the user and makes it available for the RDS pool that you're working on. UEV extends that and takes those same settings and makes them available across the desktop experience as well. So it's a case of good with the user profile disk and better with MDOT. With UEV also, another key point is we choose what to roam. So we do have an offline mode as well. If we go back to the start, the users are more mobile than ever, and they're making changes to the way they work on their laptops when they're not connected, adding toolbar icons, changing things. They want to be able to synchronise those settings back when they come on the network. So UEV has an offline mode. Those settings are cached, and when they come back onto the network, the settings are synchronised back to the store. An important point, we don't roam user files, data. So this is all about the user settings and the user experience. For data, we recommend using the redirected folders. I'll talk about that more a bit later on. So this is all about the user experience. So for the IT pro, the number one thing we hear is log-on times. Every time we've done a Windows 7 deployment, the customer is saying, we want fast log-on times. I don't want those five-minute log-ons that we have on XP. Very protective about the log-on time. Microsoft has heard that, and so out of the box, the UEV agent only loads settings that don't affect the log-on time. We have synchronous processing. And so any setting that can affect the log-on time is not enabled by default. Because we're pulling down the part of that experience that they need at the time, when the user first logs on, all we pull down is the operating system settings. When they launch the application, that's when that application settings come down. When that application is closed, the settings go back. So we don't have to log off and log on to get these settings replicating the way you used to. So we're all about protecting that log-on time. Now, in real life, even with all the settings enabled, Glenn, what are we talking?
With all the UEV settings enabled via grid policy and on a well-connected network, about half a second delay. Okay. Not noticeable.
The files are very small because it's all about the settings. So it is very efficient, but you still have that granular control. So as I mentioned, it works on applications and operating system settings, two key types. And we have different triggers for when those settings are read in and when the settings are saved back. So for the application, when the application is launched, the settings are loaded down. When the application is closed, the settings are saved back. For the operating system settings, we cover all the different ways of accessing. Log on, session connection from RDS or from terminal services, or even unlocking the machine will load down those settings. So you don't have to log on and log off to get your whole profile back and all the new settings. The save events on log off, on a session disconnect, or even on a lock workstation. And we'll demonstrate those. One thing we do get asked about is with the roaming profiles, we always seen if someone's left a machine logged on for a long time and they log on to other machines but then they log off that machine later, all those old settings from a long time ago are then overwritten on the server. And so essentially that profile becomes no good to them. We do have a concept of last writer wins, so it is very similar to the way the roaming profile worked in that sense. But because we're doing it on a per application setting, on open and close, and on the OS setting on these different triggers, it's not an all or nothing copy for the profile. So those collisions don't happen anywhere near as often. As soon as you close Word, those settings are saved. When you reopen Word, the settings come down. So you're not going to get those problems of the old profile overriding the new. So that's enough of me talking about it. How about we show you what it can do? I'll hand over to Glenn. We're going to do a user experience demonstration and then we'll step into some of the administration after. Over to you, Glenn.
Okay, so the first presentation we'll do is Windows personalization demonstration. So I'll just demonstrate that my account has got no roaming profiles attached.
So we're just showing there's no smoke and mirrors here. It's a basic profile without any settings.
So we've got tools, AD users and computers. Profile, no profile path, just a home drive. And RDS, no profile path either.
Okay, so we're not doing anything here. The user experience virtualization is doing all the work.
Okay, so side by side, I've got a Windows 7 box and a Windows 8, and you can see that they've both got the same background. So we'll lock the Windows 8 session. Okay, so personalize, background. So we'll just navigate to our home drive where I've got a lovely beach picture that Toby took.
Took the dog for a walk last week on the beach and took this photo with my Nokia Lumia. I'm not a photographer either, so I'm pretty impressed with that.
But are you sponsored by
Nokia? Not yet.
I wish.
Okay, so to apply those settings, we lock the session screen.
So on the lock, that's saving those settings back to the store.
Log on to our Windows 8 box. There you go.
So you can see it's very fast and very efficient. The settings have come straight down. Okay, so that's a Windows personalization. Out of the box, there's a whole heap of settings in there. What about an application?
Okay, so we'll try Microsoft Word. So as you can see, we've got our ribbon settings and style. So we'll add some quick access toolbar settings. And I'll add a custom tab to the ribbon. Okay. Okay, so I'll save that to my documents. And when Word's closed, the settings are synced up to the store. plug onto our Windows 7 box. Complex passwords. Okay, so we launch Word. Live demos.
It's a very grey area on what files we roam. So setting files we do roam using UEV. I guess the differentiation... Sorry, the question was about roaming the files because the personalisation here is stored in a file. We do roam the settings. What UEV isn't for is roaming user data. So settings files like this are stored in small files that the user doesn't know where they are. And UEV will absolutely support those files. So the custom dictionaries and different settings that are stored in there, they will roam. What we don't use UEV for is roaming my documents or my pictures or my music and those sorts of things.
Okay, that's come across. I launched Word too quick. I didn't get give it time to sync up. So yeah, as you can see, the custom tabs come across and the quick access toolbar buttons have come across. And if I go File, Recent, my recent documents are listed and the text I entered before.
So those custom toolbars are things that the users always ask for, and we get a lot of calls about that, of asking why they can't maintain their settings when they're coming in remotely from home, when they're accessing via a tablet on direct access. UEV answers that, and it maintains their experience with all those different settings and brings them across. So we don't care if the application is being published via RDS or via AppV or MSI. The settings are coming across regardless. So we've shown the operating system experience and the application. How about RDS?
Yep. Sort of. I'll demonstrate the screen position as well. So we'll shrink Word down. Just take note of the screen position.
Do you want to open your document and type in it?
Save that, save the settings. So we'll launch our RDS session on Windows 8.
So in this scenario, the user's gone home for the day, now they're coming in via the RDS gateway. We don't have certificate infrastructure in our lab environment. That's why the RDS sessions are running a little bit slower. So it times out on a certificate check. And it's always slower in real life in front of a crowd.
Does it roam activation of Office 2013?
Per user activation? At the moment, it's Office 2010. Is the supported version. So Office 2013 isn't in there yet. We are still at release candidate. Sorry, the question was about roaming activation for Office 2013. I expect that we'll see that come out once Office 2013 is RTM. So at the moment, it's only supported for Office 2010. I'll talk about how we can do that later on, though, because there's a lot of opportunity to customise and extend this for whatever applications you want.
So as we can see, the RDS Word 2010, the screen positions come across, and also the recent document, recent settings, and our last edit on the document also.
So screen position is one of those really minor things from an IT pro perspective, but for the end user, that's a really great thing. When they have set up two windows side by side, close the apps, go home, connect from home, and then to be able to open up those apps and they're automatically side by side with their documents as they were, it's all about the productivity, and we're delivering that experience however they're connecting. So we covered off the Windows operating system settings. We've covered off an application by Microsoft. How about a third-party app?
Yeah, we'll do Adobe Reader. So we'll launch Adobe Reader. We'll change a couple of preferences. We'll change your units to centimetres and We'll share the splash screen. And commenting will change the font to agency. So okay to that. Close Adobe to apply the settings and sync the settings up to the storage share. So units have been brought across, centimeters, commenting, same, and general, we've got the splash screen enabled.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. So you can see all the user settings that they've set, they set once, and they're available from all the different ways of accessing it and all the different delivery methods. Thank you, Glenn. I'm just trying to... So now let's have a look at the IT Pro perspective of this, how you have control and choice in what you're going to roam. UEV is very powerful at giving control on what settings you want to roam for what applications. We do this with what we call settings location templates. The settings are defined for the capture on a per application basis using these templates. These are really simple to do. Anyone who's done any XML will immediately recognise it. And we can also generate these using a generator tool that ships in the box with the product. And we'll go into that in some detail in the next lab. I'll talk about the templates in more detail in a minute, but there's three ways to obtain these templates. We have a whole heap provided out of the box as soon as you install the product, and I'll talk about them. You can create your own. So if you've got your own in-house application in your environment, you can still roam those settings across your organisation. And it only takes a few minutes to create these. If you don't want to go there and create your own, Microsoft has set up a community share for them as well. So that what's in the box? There's a whole heap that we've put in there to help you get up and running quickly. As of the current release candidate, I'll show you what we've built into the product. So the first beta had all of the Office 2010 applications, including Project and Visio and SharePoint Workspace. So the whole suite was in there. Browser options between IE9 and IE10, all the Windows accessories and themes and ease of access settings. They're all included from the very first beta. Beta 2, they added IE8. Microsoft heard back from the customers such as yourselves telling us that IE8 is still out there in the environment. And so the settings now roam across IE8, 9 and 10. We added more desktop settings in there with the start menu and taskbar and all those customizations. The folder options and views, regions, languages, they're all included. You install the agent, all of these are enabled by default. The release candidate, which came out on Friday, adds in the following new features. The first was security group targeting. This came back from TechEd North America. In one of the sessions, they had a question about if we can isolate this down for users, and so that was added in to the latest release. We added more options around Office 2010. The window position that Glenn just demonstrated is one of them. Support for Windows 8 and Server 2012 RTM. And a lot of performance improvements and bug fixes. In particular, the performance, they now process these concurrently. So it makes it even faster for the log-on, log-off experience and the saving of settings up and down on the network. With IE 8, 9 and 10, because we're now going across different browsers, they're all very different in the settings. So the key settings that we bring across are the favourites and the home pages and the common ones that the users are asking for. We don't pretend to try and bring over every setting because there's some pretty significant differences in those versions of the browser. but the user experience of what the users have asked for is in there. So has anyone used the connect.microsoft.com website? So this is available on there now. You can go and download it. The evolution of UEV is a really good example of how your feedback counts. People have been using this since beta 1, providing the feedback, and we can see the features that are being asked for are being added in. The product team are listening to your requests, so I really encourage you to get on that site and start using the products that you need in your environment and providing that feedback, because it does make it into the release. So what if I want to create a template? What if I've got an application that no one else has? These are easily generated with the built-in generator that Glenn will demonstrate to us in a minute. We can define all the different settings for your application. It only takes a few minutes to create a template and have it up on your network and available for all the machines to be using and roaming those settings. So we're giving you control over what apps you want to roam the settings for in your environment. Wizard-based interface, it auto-detects. It's very simple to use. You don't have to learn another tool. This is a next finish wizard. But you can see we still maintain the drill-down ability to add in whatever settings you want. So if you know there's a particular obscure file or registry key, you can add it in. It's an XML standard, and with the RTM, the XSD will ship with the product, so you can use that directly if you want. So let's have a look at the XML template. Who here's used user state migration tool? Yep. So this should look fairly familiar. The XSD does ship, as I mentioned, with the RTM. So the first part is how we identify the application. This is our unique GUID for the app, so that UEV knows what the different applications are. We always recommend using a name there that's meaningful. It makes it easier to browse the file system if you ever need to later on. For identifying the process, we support multiple processes. So we identify the file name and the product name. You can do multiple versions. So I mentioned that we only roam from Office 2010 before, but if you've got an app in your environment that you know the settings can roam across different versions, you can support that with the one template so that their settings are maintained even across different versions of that application. The settings that we bring across is registry from the current user hive. User settings are stored in the current user hive, so we only support under HKEY current user. And the file path, this is under the profile. You can use environment variables as well here. And for path normalization, we always recommend using those, as you can see down the bottom there with the app data. Okay, if you don't want to create one yourself, head to this website. Hit the URL, and there's a community that Microsoft have already set up in the TechNet gallery, and you can download them yourself. I checked this morning, and there's now 23 templates in there, and it's growing every day. So don't reinvent the wheel. Hit this URL. If your application's there, download the template and start using it straight away. If it isn't there, I really encourage you, when you're building your template, submit it back to the community. Share your learnings with the rest of the other pros out there. And if you've got an app, I guarantee someone else in the world's going to be using it as well. Okay, so let's have a look at how we create and deploy those templates.
Okay, so we'll create a template for remote desktop connection. So we'll run our generator.
So this generator should look very familiar to anyone who's used any of the MDOP tools. We've got the ability to create a template. We can edit an existing template. You can validate a template. So for the coders in the room, if you've written up that XML file already, you can validate that it will work with UEV.
Okay, so we click Create a Settings Template. Okay, so we browse to the executable file, or you can browse to a shortcut location as well.
So we're just doing a simple one for the IT pros in the room for a remote desktop, but you can use this for any application. If you download the videos from the North America site, they used Expression, I think it was.
Yeah, Expression.
So you can see you put in the file path for the executable. If you've got command line arguments that you launch that with as part of your normal shortcut, you add them in, working folder. This should all look fairly familiar. Any application packages in the room? It's good. I'm sure there's more and you're just not willing to put your hand up because you don't want to go back there, but that's all right. This setting, the tick box down the bottom, if you know what registry keys are needed, what files are needed, you don't need to run through this wizard. You can jump straight into the editor and start putting them in there. But in this case, we'll just do it the simple way.
Okay, so we click Next.
So because this is monitoring at kernel level, we need the elevated privileges.
So the generator will launch the application, monitor it, and as soon as the application is launched, close it, and all the settings are captured.
So we do recommend running this on a clean machine where you haven't launched that application before. Very similar concept to the application packaging way. We launch the tool.
So just close it immediately.
So you don't have to go in and configure the settings or anything. It picks up where it's writing to, and you can just close that application straight off. So now we've got the review. So there's two categories, standard and non-standard. Standard are things that, based on the information that Microsoft have in the UEV, we expect to see in your application. So for a third-party app, if you're doing something that's not part of the operating system, you would see those showing up in the standard keys. In this example, because MSTSC is part of the OS, it's showing up in non-standard, but we can still go in and tick that registry key and say that that is part of what we're capturing here. And then we've got the tab up the top also for files. So we can also capture the standard files that it recognises are not part of the operating system and therefore probably part of your application, but you maintain control. You can select and unselect anything in here.
Okay, so we click Next. And we've got options here to add additional registry keys, modify existing keys, also for files as well, add or remove file settings, add new files.
So this screen is where you would jump to if you unselected the wizard box on the first screen. It'll come straight to here. One thing I will recommend, if you're going to be uploading those templates, use generic author names and generic email addresses, unless you want people emailing you for support for your template.
Okay, so create. I'll just save it to my desktop.
And there it is. So that's the XML file. That's how quick it is to prepare. But how do we get it out there for all the machines?
So what we need to do now is copy it to the template catalog share, which is on our domain controller.
So we've defined a share there for the settings location templates. How do we know where that is, Glenn? Can you show us that?
Yep. So we'll go back to our domain controller. So if we go to it's a workstation group policy, we'll edit the group policy.
So out of the box, we ship the ADMX template. So you manage UEV using group policy. You're not having to learn a new tool set.
Okay, so admin templates, Windows components. And then Microsoft User Experience Virtualization, and then Settings Template Catalog Path.
So you can see there the shared location for what we've defined for the catalog path. Now this is supported for DFS shares as well, so if you are replicating this around your environment, you can use DFS. It's only read-only for the clients. The clients only grab that template down, so you can use DFS. We can see some other settings in there that we can define as well via the group policy. And additionally, with the release candidate that came out last week, We also have settings available per user. So you can now target per user or per machine. There may be a group of users that you don't want their settings to roam. They may have mandatory profiles, or there might be something else you're wanting to do. So we give you that ability now via group policy, the tool you're already used to managing users and the differences with. Just by the template, we can now control UEV on a machine or a works or a user basis. Thanks, Glenn. So now we've got the template up on the share. What do we need to do next?
Next, we need to register the templates across the workstation. So there's three ways you can do this, either via WMI, PowerShell script, or by running the agent executable. So the executable runs once a day, but you can change the scheduling to run more often or create a job via Config Manager to run the agent when you update an XML file. So we'll log on to our Windows 8 box and we'll run the PowerShell script. So you need to run this as administrator as well.
So by default, this does run every 24 hours, so it will poll back to that central location for any templates that you've added. If you do need to put a new template up and get that out across your organisation, you can trigger it using PowerShell, using Config Manager, using your existing management tools. We don't add a whole big dashboard and management interface for it. It's very simple to do.
Okay, so first we'll import the UEV module. And then we run this, run another PowerShell script to register the template. So I've got some, I've got it preset because of my fat fingers. So. Now to verify the template's been imported, we can run another PowerShell command called get UEV template. And this will list all the templates which are currently imported on the machine. So just here on my desktop connection.
So we can see the template's now imported onto that machine.
So on the Windows 7 box, we'll just run the agent. So C, program files, UEV, agent, and 64-bit in this case.
So if you wanted to force this update across all your machines, you would use Config Manager or your management tool to trigger that application.
Okay, so now we'll sync some settings between 7 and 8 for RDC. Change display and user experience. Just save those settings and close. On Windows 8. So display and experience.
Right. Thank you, Glenn. So you can see in just a couple of minutes we've taken a new app that wasn't roaming and wasn't supported for roaming in your organisation, added it in and pushed that out, and now it roams across all the different devices. Thank you. Okay, we're carrying on from the templates. We've talked about out of the box, talked about generating your own. How about some of the advanced functions? For those that are interested, here's some of the functions available. Now you need to do all of these via XML, but you can see the power that we have available. So you may want to grab a whole hive of the registry for that application, but exclude particular settings, such as application registrations or unique settings that you don't want to roam. You can now exclude those registry keys out, and the same with the file directory structure. You can bring in a whole subdirectory except for certain files or paths. So we manage registry and file exclusions. Suited applications, so Office with all its different apps, but any other application that is part of a suite with common settings support, and the Adobe ones are fairly familiar with that, we can maintain those custom settings as well. So you don't just have to have one XE, it can be across a suite of applications as well. multiple processes. If there's a number of different processes that run for that application, we can capture that in the UEV template. We can span versions, as I mentioned before, when we were editing that XML. So if you do have an app that does roam a consistent setting, even though it's version 4, 5, 6, 7, you can roam that setting across. It's up to you when you define it in the template. Architecture separation, so we do separate between 32-bit and 64-bit, but if your application has an ability to roam those settings on both, we can roam that with the template. So Office, out of the box, will only roam between the same architecture because of the way Office keys work and the complexity in there. So at the moment, Office 32-bit roams with other Office 32-bit, 64-bit and 64-bit only. It won't roam across the architecture. But if your application supports it, you can do that. If it has a shell process in there, we can capture that as well. And file and reg pass based on known folders and registry values. So we can bring in those keys and use the dynamic variables in your XML templates. There's a lot of flexibility and advanced functions available in the XML. So make sure you check the XSD when the product ships. So based on what we've seen in the community and our own experience, here's a few recommendations. Now this is a fairly simple product to set up, but we do have a few tips here. The first is read the documentation and the release notes because it is changing, as I mentioned in the caveat slide. So when it does ship, make sure you read the release notes. The first is refreshing that catalogue. You can make that available via SCCM or another product to refresh your catalogue as fast as you want. So if you do make a change at lunchtime and you want to push that out straight away, use a management tool to do that. If you're not in a rush for it and you're happy for it to wait overnight, it does have the built-in refresh. But if you want to force it, you have that power. We recommend disabling the offline mode by default. For your remote desktop sessions and VDI, they're going to be well connected to where the store is for their settings. So there's no reason for them to be offline. So we recommend disabling offline by default and just enabling it for the laptops via your group policy with a WMI filter, or enable it on the laptops during your build or however you choose to deploy it. Use a unique share for the storage settings. So out of the box, UEV will store the settings in their home drive if it exists, and you can point it to a path as well. We recommend using a unique share. If you have a complex Active Directory environment, make sure that that share is in the same domain as where your users reside, where the user accounts reside. And make sure the share's on a fast network for where they're connecting from. If it's on a slow link, you can configure for the synchronization, so for those laptops and those settings. By default, it's every 360 minutes, so you may want to wind that up because it won't sync back in real time if it detects a slow link. So if you put the settings on a fast, well-connected share for the user, won't be any problems. For applications, just have one on the machine, and this is normally the best practice. If you're installing Word on a local machine, either do it via AppV or MSI, not both, for the same version of the app, of course. We don't support roaming of the setting from AppV to Word locally on the same machine. We can roam it between the different machines, so AppV architecture on one over to another machine with MSI, but running both on the machine isn't recommended. So going into some of the IT administration, let's talk about rollback. Sometimes users change the settings that they don't mean to. So in this example, we've got Glenn's tablet configured here. Everything's happy, all the settings are correct. And he leaves it on the coffee table. His daughter comes in and clicks around on the touch screen and stuffs up all the settings for PowerPoint. How do we roll that back? There's a rollback function that Glenn's going to demonstrate in a minute that allows us to roll that application setting back to the default so that they can get up and running again. So let's have a look at the rollback.
Okay, so we'll roll back some settings in Microsoft Word. So I'll launch Word and I'll remove some items from the toolbar. So I'll remove some items from the Home tab. Okay, to that, so you can see there's no items.
So as soon as that application closes, those settings are now saved back, and we've just replicated the wrong toolbar to every environment.
So we'll use PowerShell to restore the settings prior to the first sync. Restore dash UEV user setting dash application and then Word. If you do dash force, you won't get prompted for a yes or no, but I'll do it without the force in this example.
So this is running in the user context. And because we've just defined the application name as Word, it has picked up every setting for every application with Word in the name. So you can define the full application name in there if you want. In real life, we would recommend that rather than giving users PowerShell, it's probably not going to happen. Make some of those programs for the settings that you find the users need to roll back, make them available using your software center in Config Manager or another tool, self-service, and the users can roll back their settings themselves. So we can see there, Glenn's opened up the application and it's now as though he's never used it before on that machine. We've rolled back to the initial state.
And once that's closed, the settings will sync up to the storage share and then they'll be available to the other workstations that you log on to.
So it was something that was asked for in the early beta of the rollback ability, and that's been included in the product. Thanks, Glenn. So let's have a look at the architecture, how this hangs together and how you can put it into your environment. If we remember, UEV is targeting on a per application basis. Now, application settings are stored in the current user registry or local files in the profile. We install the UEV agent on the machine. That puts a service that is sitting there running in the background, one agent, regardless of the operating system and the version. So that one agent supports RDS, Win7, Win8, AppV, all the different methods as I talked about before. The agent has the setting locations template for the application. And we monitor for the launch of that app. So when Word is launched, we put an agent hook in to pause the application. So the application is paused. We check for the settings package locally on the machine. If there is no settings package locally, we will take a copy of that into the initial store, and that's what our rollback position is. So that very first settings state is what becomes our rollback. We then get the settings storage location from the network. If we're using offline files, it will use offline files to bring that down. Passes back to the agent, which then applies the registry keys and the files that are located in that application settings. After those keys and files have been applied, the application is unpaused and it carries on. It just picks up the registry keys and the files that are there, and that's how we get the user experience down. When the application is closed, when the application is closed, those settings are copied back locally and then synced up to the store on the network. Again, if we're using offline files, if that's not available, it will maintain those settings locally on the laptop until it becomes connected on the network again. And then offline files will sync that up. Now, this whole process takes less than a second. It's very efficient because it's very small files, very small settings. It's a very lightweight, efficient agent. So that all happens very quickly, but that's how it works under the hood. Let's have a look at some of the requirements. So from an agent perspective, I mentioned before, we support Windows 7 and Windows 8, 32-bit or 64-bit. The agent needs a minimum of .NET 3.5, but we can use 4 for Server 2012 and Windows 8, so you don't have to install older versions. For the generator, if you're generating your templates on the admin workstations, you will need .NET 3.5 to run the generator tool. Only for the generator. We support the different architectures. And just a note there, offline files, out of the box, or the bottom three, are disabled by default. But Windows 7, offline files is enabled by default. So just watch that one. You don't have to have offline files, so you can turn that off via the group policy. It goes back to our recommendations earlier on turning off offline files. The only case where you want offline files is for a roaming user on those laptop devices, the slate devices, where they're not always connected to the network. So how do we deploy it? Number one, set up a settings storage location. This is where the settings for the users are going to be stored. Out of the box, it will go on their home drive. We do recommend having a unique share for this, using similar to the redirected folders that you probably set up in your environment already. It will go on the home drive, but we do recommend a unique location. The reason for the unique location is all about offline files, because the behaviour we see is in offline files, when the user takes their laptop offline, the only directory in that share that's available is the user settings. So if they've got My Documents there, even if it's available offline, you won't see them. So that's why we recommend putting it on a unique location. Something going on next door. So then you deploy the agent out to all your machines. It's one agent. So you deploy that out onto all the machines. When the product ships, there will be a DCM pack for Config Manager, so you can maintain your compliance using SCCM. The group policy is included out of the box, so you set up your group policy, decide how you want to target this, if it's going to be across the whole environment or subset of users or a subset of workstations. It's up to you. You control it using the tools you already know. And remember that one agent is what's doing all the magic behind the scenes. AppV, MSI, remote desktop, the one agent. Then you set up the location templates. So this is A, the share where you put the template, and then B, what templates you make available. This is up to you to define how many apps you want to roam across your environment. It's as many as you want to use the templates for. If you've only got a very small subset that you want to roam, just roam that. And it'll be very lightweight. You're not going to have the problems you had with roaming profiles. Register them using WMI or PowerShell or the executable. As we mentioned, you can use that at install time. It will synchronize every 24 hours. Or you can trigger that using Config Manager or your management tools. And set up the settings template catalog. That's where all these different apps are stored. So one spot on your network for all the different apps. You maintain them centrally. As I mentioned, integrates with all the different virtualization technologies. So in summarizing, we're giving that personal and flexible for the user. The user's only set up once and it's available regardless of how they're connecting, where they're connecting from, or what the way they are launching these applications. The settings are the same. Very fast login times. The user experience is very quick. And we work across physical and virtual. For the IT pro, it's very simple to set up. all those templates I mentioned out of the box and available to work. Once you install the agent, all of those templates are there and you're good to go for those applications. You can create your own templates for whatever is in your environment you want to roam. And we have the ability to roll back for that end user perspective. And finally, for the business, we're integrating with technology that you already own. It's part of the desktop optimization pack, so you're not buying another product. Leverage your existing investment and use that technology that's there. And when the product ships, you will have the DCM pack to help with maintaining the consistent configuration across your environment. So some related content. If you didn't get to the session yesterday, I think it was, on AppV, it's a good background session, so I recommend getting the recording. There's some URLs here on the Microsoft.com Springboard. There's a lot of information about the desktop optimization pack there, and connect.microsoft.com as well for the beta. Jump on, log in, apply for it, and start playing with this product today. Glenn and I'll be down at the speaker lounge on tomorrow morning, so you come and say hi. I'm sure you've all seen these before, but complete your evaluation sessions. These evals are really important. They help shape what sessions you get in future tech eds and what people you get to present them. So I really encourage you to fill them out, and you can win this Scott Mouse. All the recordings and the decks are going to be available on this URL, so hit that tomorrow. You'll be able to pick up the slide deck from today's session. That's our presentation, and open for questions. Thank you. Thank Glenn, he did all the work over the weekend. If the server becomes unavailable, okay, in that case, it won't have the files there. So you do need the offline mode if you're going to have that. No, it will just behave as though there's no app there and it won't be out of contact. Sorry, the question was about if the share location becomes offline. It is important that this share is made highly available. We encourage you to make it available as you would the home drive or the old profile shares.
And also in app data local, there's a UEV folder where it keeps all the settings as well, so it copies them there and then it syncs them up to the storage share. So if it's not available, we'll hold them there until it's available and then sync them up.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple monitors? So the question was how it handles multiple monitors. Because the settings are roaming in the user profile, if you have that multi-monitor functionality, it'll behave exactly the same. If you're putting the window behaviour and your monitor changes, if it can handle it, it'll keep on the left. If not, it'll default back, so it'll lose the window position. So it's very similar to the way you take your laptop if you plug it onto a multi-monitor and then bring it back. So if the application behaves now by plugging it on multi-monitor, and when you open it up, it all works and spread out, and then you disconnect and it's all on the one, it'll do exactly the same. So consistent with the current experience. So the question is about rolling back to a point in time. At this point, it isn't supported, but it should work. It's a very simple architecture, so it's just a file, so there's no reason it wouldn't work, but the product team will say it's not supported. The rollback is to an initial state. But, yeah, using the user state rollbacks and things, it would work.
Still, the product doesn't replace the roaming profiles because you still need the My Documents and all that stuff.
So the question was about it not replacing roaming profiles. What we're seeing in our experience, people aren't using roaming profiles now. They're using redirected folders to get the data, such as My Documents, Desktop, and redirecting them rather than roaming in a big profile share. And
it's more focused on the application,
though, right? Yes, UEV is all about the application.
It's not about the personalization, the use of that.
That's right. When you use user experience virtualization in conjunction with redirected folders, there's no need for a roaming profile anymore. We can still roam the app settings that you want and the files. Yeah, there's a question at the back.
Two part really. First one, users on laptop, looking for triggers for
The file is stored locally, and then when it comes online again, it will synchronise that setting back at that point in time.
So if a user's gone out for lunch with their laptop, they've done that, they've closed it, they've come back to their desktop.
Yep.
Anything they have done on the laptop won't be available on the desktop until they have the laptop again.
They don't have a desktop.
That's right.
They just have a laptop.
Yeah. Yep. So it is last right of win, so it wouldn't come back. The point out the front was just give him a laptop only. All right, question here. Okay. Yep. So the question is about roaming profiles and if we can migrate from that. It isn't supported. This is all about roaming an existing setting and making it available across all of the settings. So I'm trying to think how you do that for a roaming profile.
Someone already has Office and you want to take that in.
Yes, if you've got Office customized already, once the agent runs the first time, whatever settings are set will get synchronized. So yep.
So a question about using roaming profiles as well as this. There's no reason why not. From the architecture slide that I showed earlier, all we're doing is writing those reg keys and files in, so we're not trying to replace any roaming profiles. So it will work in conjunction with roaming profiles. So if you want to maintain that, you certainly can. That's right. I mean, roaming profiles are slower logins, right? So yeah. Yeah. The UEV won't really contribute to the performance of the login, but the roaming profile will. There's a question at the back.
I was just going to say, can you clarify, with all parties that are restricted to grabbing files from the user profile only?
That's correct, yeah. User profile or where the user has permission to write to.
So where an application uses a setting file within the program's file,
I don't believe it will unless they've got permission to. You may be able to do that through the advanced functions in the XML editor. I'd have to come back to you. If you want to come afterwards, we can try it out. Right.
Can you blow away just that application's settings?
Okay. So the question was if, for whatever reason, the rollback state was also corrupt. All we're storing is one file locally on the C drive. So you could blow that away and then it would...
Do every application?
No, for that app. Okay. It's named on the... Remember the XML we had, the GUID identifier? That's what we name our files with. So it's unique per app. So you could blow that away. However, the whole UEV architecture is designed to write that initial state on the first application launch with the hook before it writes anything. So before the app actually opens, we pause the app, capture that initial state, and put it there. So the only reason you'd... Yeah, the only reason you'd have it corrupted is if it was in your master image. At the back... Sorry, how does it?
How does it handle applications that are using Sandbox? Like, I saw you guys on IWX.
Yep.
That's got future sandboxing in there.
Right.
Is it enabled or disabled in the demo?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, so if we can have a look after. In turn, it is a very low level read write, the pause of the app and grabbing the key, so it shouldn't actually affect the sandbox mode, but we can have a look at that and confirm it.
Toby.
Right, is it?
I was going to show the files that are synced up.
Yeah, we're probably out of time. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
RT support?
That I don't know. The question is whether we support Windows RT, but given that we're storing on a domain file share, I'm not too sure how that would work. It'd be a question to ask the product team. So, sorry. So the question was about if we can set default settings. UEV isn't designed to replace your existing group policy preferences. That's always going to be the method that we say for doing default application settings. UEV is about roaming the user experience. So for default settings for an app that you want out of the box, group policy preferences are going to be the best. Yeah.
So you can roam your app settings, you can redirect your desktop and your H drive and whatever you might want. What about printers?
As of this morning, there was a template put up on the gallery for printers. Now, I haven't tried it, and it does say he hasn't tested it in production, but it's in there.
Can you grab all those templates, test them
See how we go. I'll get Glenn onto it.
MS Connect.
Yeah, any application, you need to define the third-party add-ons. So when you run the generator, you can add those in. But we support any file structure. Yeah, at the back. So if a user already has settings in there, we're going to grab their state at that point and put it up into the share. So that would then go into the network location, yeah?
Yes, the storage settings location. And also on their app data.
Yeah, so we would grab those keys and it would go into there.
So if they we're on a terminal server.
Yep. Whichever one they log into first and then close that application. Remember that the hooks are app launch and app close. So if you deploy this product in your environment tonight and tomorrow you open Word, wherever you open it from, as soon as you close that app, that's the settings that will go up into the store. So it's that concept of last writer wins. Yeah?
With the generator and the default templates,
yep.
You're saying to try and do it as cleanly as possible, but in a situation if you want certain default settings to come down at first use, could you specify those defaults first and that's what the user will get?
So question about putting the defaults into the application. So
some default UI settings and whatnot.
Yep.
Sure.
It won't bring down a default, but there is the ability in the advanced options to force a standard setting on all workstations regardless of who logs on there. So you could use it for that functionality. However, I would say that the best way to do default settings is via the application delivery method, whether it's MSI or AppV. Put your default settings into how you deliver the app. It isn't, again, it's not supported because if you're doing it via XML and people aren't following variables and path normalization, it wouldn't work. But theoretically, it could come across. It wouldn't be supported by the product team, but it's quite a simple architecture underneath. So I would probably say to get around that, you use the templates just for one setting for all the users. So they're all stored back on there. Yeah, question. The files are very, very small, and in the release candidate that came out last week, they updated to allow concurrent processing for exactly that question on scaling and sizing. So, yep, and this is down to how many you want to define, and it's just giving you the ability. If you want to spend a week writing 100 templates and doing it, you can do that, and it will scale to that, and it won't be a problem, but... Yeah. Yeah, and don't put your email into the template. But it would scale fine for that. The main thing here is that we're controlling the app, so you're going to start, you know, it's the old 80-20 rule. The 20% of your apps are giving you 80% of the grief. Do those, and then you're going to be able to move away from the roaming profiles and use those apps. And then as you get the requests in, you saw how quickly we can add in another template. So you don't feel you've got to boil the ocean and do the whole application suite in the whole organisation before you deploy this. Pick the common ones. Any other questions here? Yep.
Release date? When it's done?
That hasn't been released yet. Yeah, watch your connect.microsoft.com site and you'll get on the email list for it with any updates. So, release date? When it's actually released, sorry. It's part of the next release of MDOP, so you will see it come out there. So around the app 5... AppV 5 beta, I'd assume. But I haven't seen any actual release dates. Yep. Outlook signatures. I saw there's a comment on a thread on the Connect site on that. I haven't actually tested that one, but I do believe there were some people doing that using UEV.
Yeah.
Check the connect.microsoft.com website and you'll see it on there. But yeah, the Outlook SIGs are pretty simple. We've got about another 30 seconds. We've got to finish up. Any other questions? So we're not going to comment on other vendors' features. I knew I'd get this one, and you were the last one. So, look, this is part of your MDOP have a look at the features, put it in, try it out. If you choose to buy another product from another vendor to do functionality you need, that's something that you can make a call. We're just giving you another option.
Can I ask a question? Who's on MDoc?
Oh, that's a good crowd. Okay, thanks very much for your time, guys. If there's any questions, come see me after, and please fill out the evals.
Yeah. I'd also RC one release candidate, and with the beta one, I had issues with the syncing of the background. But once I put the
The syncing
absolutely
was quite a number of reasons for that. The profile.